And I want to return to the point that I've been making all week. It is no accident that the polls indicate a complete lack of faith by large sections of the community in the Turnbull government. And the case in relation to Bill Leake and the Queensland University of Technology students being prosecuted by the Human Rights Commission is classic. A government worth two bob would simply call the Human Rights Commission to heel, call for the resignation of Gillian Triggs, spring to the complete defence of people like Bill Leake and these poor students and the way they're being treated. But the government is mute. Now, I could give you a million such examples, but I'm going to just give you one today because we are in the presence of a distinguished international figure. And I'm talking again about this renewable energy rubbish and wind power. Now, Josh Frydenberg, the minister, has come into this parliament as a person of incredible intellectual strength. He betrays his own intellectual ability by towing the bureaucratic line. Josh Frydenberg knows that we will be dependent on coal-fired power for years and years to come. He knows that wind power is unaffordable and unreliable. He knows that wind power produces about 1.4% of the world's total electricity. He knows that solar power is so pathetically low, it has to be bundled up with tidal and wave power to even register 0.1% of the world's electricity. He knows that China and India continue to open up one new coal-fired power station a week. He knows that coal and nuclear power make up over 80% of the world's power and that they are the two power sources that the Greens and his party and others fight to prevent. And he knows he doesn't have the guts to take these arguments to the people and tell the truth. He knows that his responsibility as a minister, the energy minister, is to provide energy security and energy affordability, and as a minister in general, to guarantee the good health of Australians. Now, witness South Australia. They had neither energy security nor affordability. They boast about having the highest number of wind turbines, I don't know what they say, on the planet, in the world, it doesn't matter. It's rubbish. Last year, 11,000 homes in South Australia had their power cut off. They couldn't afford the inflated electricity prices because renewable energy was fed into the grid. How do they keep themselves warm in winter? How do they safeguard their health if they can't heat their homes? How do they cook their food? How do the kids do their homework? Another 13,000 households were on hardship plans, struggling to pay their electricity bills. Frydenberg knows that. What does he do? Toes the renewable energy line. He doesn't like me saying that. Well, I'm going to keep saying it till he breaks from the bureaucracy and faces reality. He knows we're exporting coal to China so they can have cheap electricity, but we demonise coal-fired power here. He knows that subsidies to wind power are $42 per megawatt hour of electricity produced. He knows that subsidies to solar power are $412 per megawatt hour. So if you want handouts, go solar, go wind. Yet what did Frydenberg recently tell the Parliament? In Question Time, quote, "We've been able to restore $800 million in grants for the renewable energy sector while keeping the $10 billion Clean Energy Finance Corporation intact. Both of them Abbott wanted to get rid of." But he boasted about 12 different projects, six in Queensland, he said, five in New South Wales, oh yes, and buggering up people's health completely, making people refugees in their own homes. Now, of course, the private sector want to invest in solar and wind because we mugs are providing billions of dollars in subsidies. Of course, they'd be in the game. Oh, by the way, they're foreign-owned as well. Foreign-owned. You, I, are paying for wind turbines and people's health is suffering. There was a Senate Select Committee on Wind Turbines, which reported last year, and this proves the validity of what I'm saying. They found what I've been arguing. So what's the Turnbull government doing? Hasn't responded. Report was tabled in August. Nothing has been done. Throughout that Senate wind inquiry, the committee received 500 submissions, hundreds of witnesses giving harrowing evidence at eight public hearings held across Australia. Evidence from experts in the UK, USA, Canada, New Zealand, submissions written in French and Danish and Dutch. They were awful, absolutely awful stuff. Graham Lloyd, writing in The Australian in June this year, said, "The failure of all parties to properly assess what they've pledged, this is by way of renewable energy targets, raises the prospect of a potentially nasty price shock for electricity users down the track, to say nothing of existing health shocks." Now, there's evidence everywhere of the impact of these infrasound sound vibrations. As I said, if they weren't a risk to health, why not put them on Bondi Beach? Put them down Macquarie Street, George Street, Brisbane, Collins Street, Melbourne. Plenty of wind there. Oh, no, wouldn't do that. because they know they're injurious to health. An international project led by the International Meteorology Institute of Germany has concluded that human beings can hear sounds lower than have been assumed, and the impact of low-frequency noise on people is poorly understood. Scientists in Japan have measured brain function and reported last year that it showed that the brains of Japanese wind turbine workers could never achieve a relaxed state. How'd you like to be next to this stuff? A study of 45 people by the Tehran University published last year said it can be stated that this technology has health risks for all those exposed to its sound. Work by Neil Kelly at NASA in the 1980s on an early model wind turbine came to the same conclusions. A direct causal link between wind turbine infrasound, low frequency noise, and the health problems of neighbours, including sleep disturbance. They become refugees in their own home. And as the number and size of wind turbines has increased, the spread of complaints has grown. The German research said, although commonly declared as non-audible, the number of complaints about infrasound exposure has been increasing exponentially. In Germany and other countries, serious problems exist. The German project leader Christian Koch said, it's been agreed that infrasound represents an almost unknown hazard to human health. Well, you won't hear from this lady. We've got a distinguished academic in our presence, Dr. Mariana Alves Pereira. She's an associate professor at Lusofona University in Portugal, and she has argued and proven that increasing technological development is putting communities at risk due to what she calls insidious low-frequency noise and vibration. And she says that vulnerable at-risk groups include those not just living next to wind farms, those in high-exposure environments, airline pilots and other transportation industries, and those living in close proximity to industrial-scale installations like wind turbines. She and her colleagues have been conducting, she's not just a new fly on the ointment, they've been conducting epidemiological studies over the past 20 years of people chronically exposed to low-frequency noise and infrasound, and they found that the effects are grim. Cardiovascular, respiratory, neurologic, and renal pathology and symptoms, which they're calling vibroacoustic disease. Mariana Alves Pereira has a BSc in physics from the State University of New York, an MSc in biomedical engineering, PhD in environmental science, the author and co-author of over 50 scientific publications peer-reviewed. But she was brought here because the Warbra Foundation, which has been fighting the consequences of wind power on public health in Victoria, and Andrew's government is a disgrace, has had its status as a health promotion charity revoked. And the Australian Charities for Not-for-Profit Commission, there's another one, you didn't know you funded that, did you? Another government outfit, has written of its decision to exclude the Warbra Foundation from being considered a health promotion charity and said this, listen to this, to date, there's been no rigorous, independent scientific evidence that finds that the ill health complained of is caused by the physiological effects from wind turbines, nor that there are human diseases called wind turbine syndrome or vibroacoustic disease. In other words, Dr. Mariana Alves Pereira, you're telling lies, go home. This outfit is doing the government's bidding, telling us that there are no human diseases from wind turbine exposure, and all Mariana Alves Pereira's research establishing the existence of vibroacoustic disease doesn't exist. In other words, like Gillian Triggs, tell lies. That's the only way you can win your argument. There's no other word for it. Well, Dr. Pereira has agreed to talk to me, and she's on the line. Mariana Alves Pereira, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you for your time. You've done any number of studies, haven't you? Not just human beings, on animals, with infrasound, low-frequency noise, and the consequence on health.
Yes, we have.
And they're published?
They are published.
So can't people in Australia read?
Of course, they're in English.
So what's the story? Why do people continue to tell lies about this?
Well, that's a very political issue and not quite a scientific issue. If they were looking at the science, they wouldn't be telling lies.
I mean, you have spoken about this mob, the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission, and here they are denying the very evidence that is available to you in the English language.
Yes, What can we say? I think it all comes down to a litigation problem in the future, and lying right now is the best way to go.
Amazing, isn't it? You have written, this lady, Dr. Mariana Alves Pereira, has written to this Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission, and she wrote delicately, she said, it's not my place to discuss the economic, political or legal background against which your decision and this letter are being produced. But then she said, I represent a group of scientists who procure knowledge for the sake of knowledge, particularly when it advances the well-being of societies through the prevention or control of diseases. Wind turbines, for example, she said, are but one of many problematic sources of ILFN, that's infrasound and low-frequency noise, that we have investigated over the past 30 years. Now, Mariana, you've made the point that your research is extensive and it's been recognised internationally with a stack of awards. I won't list them. But your point is that none of these studies have been disputed.
No, they haven't.
And yet, there's no opposing scientific evidence. You've evaluated the level of damage and noise amongst people exposed to low-frequency sound. You've argued to this Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission, quote, concluding that no ILFN, infrasound low-frequency noise-induced pathology, exists, is ludicrous in terms of the axioms of scientific methodology.
That's absolutely true. Most other scientists are evaluating these effects through questionnaires as opposed to medical diagnostic tests. We evaluate the effects through medical diagnostic tests. And therefore,
that's
it's
right.
Undisputable.
I mean, I thought you made an excellent point, by the way. You've got a sense of humour. Dr. Pereira said that if a medical health provider argued that things like cholesterol and blood pressure levels had no impact on overall health, they'd be referred to psychiatric care. People would say, you're mad. You're mad. Yet acousticians who've proven that sites are contaminated by infrasound and low-frequency noise are told, what you can't hear won't hurt you. I mean...
Yeah, precisely. That's a very old argument.
It is.
It cannot be sustained by science as we know it today. This has been studied way back since the 1940s, in the 1960s, with the space race between the Soviet Union and the United States. Infrasound and low-frequency noise was again evaluated properly. But today, people prefer to take a questionnaire. How do you feel? And then refer them to psychiatric care if they insist on feeling bad.
Well, I mean, you've been everywhere since you've been here. You've been to Waterloo in South Australia, MacArthur and Cape Bridgewater in Victoria. I get letters from these, Mariana. It's just frightening what these people are enduring. And you've met the families. I mean, they're desperate. They're refugees in their own homes, aren't they?
They are indeed.
And you've been to Culler and Capital, Gullen Range in New South Wales. You've visited mining community in the Upper Hunter. And there's a mountain of research. We could talk all day. What is people listening to you at the moment all across Australia, can you say something to them about this?
Protect yourselves. Protect yourselves. Demand the correct medical diagnostic tests to prove that you are actually ill and that you're not imagining this. This is not a psychological effect. There is actual tissue damage happening when you are excessively exposed to this sort of agent of disease.
And yet governments continue to approve them. As I've said, if they weren't injurious to health, you'd put them in Collins Street, Melbourne, or George Street, or Bondi Beach, wouldn't you?
Precisely.
So they shove them out amongst farmers, and you've met these farmers who just weep, and I do as well. Look, thank you for what you've done. You've given them a real psychological boost. The obligation is on us now to carry on your good work, and I can guarantee you we will.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
You're most welcome. There she is, Dr. Mariana Alves Pereira, the Frydenbergs of this world. Want to ignore she even exists.